Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I said it at each of the first services, the cathedral choir was amazing, but what about the sanctuary choir? Yes, thank you. You could not have sung today's scripture message more beautifully or more perfectly, and it sums up all of God's love and all of God, what he wants us to know. Pastor McLean and I were just talking about this Friday, which is why I mentioned it before they sang. What a great song. One of my favorite children's books is called You Are Special by Max Lucado. I love it because every time I read it to the kids, my kids are older now, but when I used to read it to the kids, it did more for me probably than it did even for them. It's a book about a land of wooden people called Wemmicks, made by a wood carver named Eli. Every day these wooden people would go around assessing the worth of each other and giving each other either gold stars or gray dots based on their perceived value. The book highlights one Wemmick in particular named Punchinello, who happens to have gray dot stickers all over his body. And these gray dot stickers just amplify his insecurities. But he is always aware of the one Wemmick named Lucia, who has no gray dots or gold stars anywhere on her body. And so one day he has the courage to ask her why. And she simply introduces him to Eli, the Wemmick's maker. The reason she has no gold stars or gray dots is because Eli reminds her that Eli created her and that none of the external stars or dots stick when she remembers that promise that she is God's beloved. She says she visits Eli every day, and Eli reminds her that God's love is all that matters, and we are all called to share that love. The author of 1 John shares this message with the early church as well. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is the heart of our faith. At Jesus' baptism, as the heavens opened and the Spirit descended, a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." In the waters of baptism, God unites us to the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we too hear these words. "You are my child, my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." The gift of God's love is our greatest gift. The gift of God's love is our deepest identity. God makes this identity clear in our baptisms, yet we still spend most of our lives trying to figure out who we are. We spend our lives trying to answer the question of who we are in three basic ways. Number one, I am what I do. Number two, I am what others say about me. And number three, I am what I have. First, I am what I do. You meet someone for the first time, and the inevitable question is, what do you do? It's ingrained for us to think we are what we do. The only problem is that breaks down quite quickly. When we feel we do good things or we have success in life, we feel good about ourselves. But when we feel like we fail or have done something we're not proud of, we get pretty low or even depressed. Living life believing we are what we do can be momentarily satisfying, but it can also quickly bring shame. Neither of these fulfill our deepest longings for love. Who am I is not sufficiently answered by what we do. Another way we regularly answer the question, who am I, is by saying, I am what others say about me. This is obviously a powerful motivator, or we wouldn't see the politicians using it so prolifically this election season. And we wouldn't see the addictive nature of social media taking hold of us. Political campaigns would not say such horrible, demeaning things if they didn't have some sort of measurable effect on their campaign numbers. Social media would not have such a profound effect without the dopamine hit you get by receiving a like from something that you've posted. What other people say about us is very powerful and often becomes the most important thing in our lives. If people speak well about us, we walk around quite freely and confidently, but when someone starts talking about us behind our back or maybe to our face, or if a negative comment is posted online, it is really easy to shut down. You could have 100 compliments about a job well done, but the one comment you'll remember is the negative one. I think that's a pretty universal thing. So the power of another's opinion plays a huge role in answering the question, who am I? Unless we trust our deepest identity, that we are God's beloved. But we're also pretty good at answering the question, who am I, a third way, by saying, I am what I have. I can take pride in my home, in my car, in my accomplishments, or my last vacation, my great family. But as soon as I foreclose on my property, or my car breaks down, or a family member dies, or my health changes, it's easy to believe that God doesn't love me anymore. Or it's easy to start thinking that God loves others more than God loves me. And so, like the Wemmix, I start putting gray dots on myself, or even worse, pasting them on others to make myself feel better. All of these ways of defining ourselves are completely human. We are all in these places from time to time. Which is why today's passage from 1 John is so important to hear, because it is the core of our existence. You are God's beloved. I am God's beloved. Jesus heard that voice in the waters of baptism. We do too. And it was that voice that he clung to his entire life. As people praised him, as people rejected him, as people cheered for him on his way to Jerusalem, and as people crucified him on the cross, Jesus held on to the truth that whatever happens, he was and he is God's beloved. Jesus died and Jesus rose again to make that known, that there is nothing that will separate us from God's love. Forces in the world will try to chip away at God's love for us, but God keeps reminding us that there is nothing we can or cannot do that will take God's love away. You are beloved, not because others say you're great, but because God claimed you as God's own, even before you could do or say a thing, even before you were born. And God gives us the ability and the joy to share that love with others as followers of Jesus. In case you're wondering what love really looks like, the Apostle Paul outlines it really well in his letter to the first letter to the Corinthians. He says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. In real time, in our lives today, love looks like the text message Pastor Callen sends to whatever preacher is up on a Sunday morning. Faithfully, he will say something to the effect, you are loved. God is with you. It's Christy Youngdahl at the end of every camp meal who says, be kind to one another. It's the loaves and fishes meals that I get to see firsthand on Thursdays every week outside these doors that are given out and received with such joy. It's the grief group that gathers to support one another in their pain. It's calling a friend who's alone. It's gathering with our circle of friends. It's easing someone's pain rather than provoking it. It's showing up When a loved one dies, it's anticipating the needs of someone else. It's kindness, it's gratitude, it's prayer. It's being completely who God created you to be. You are the beloved children of God. Hear it not just in your head, but in your heart as well. Because in your deepest being, your life can only be one of love. That is who God is, and that is who you are too. So, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Thanks be to God. Amen.